We're here to talk about, what about when God says no? Now, I do not think I need to talk about this a lot to get you interested in it, because I believe that every one of you has said, God, what's the deal? I thought, I read in the scriptures that if I pray for something in your name, whatever I ask, you're going to do it. And people have told stories, and I heard those stories, and I went home and I prayed. But the answer was no. And for me, I interact with that oftentimes as though, number one, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm praying wrong. Maybe there's something wrong in my life. Maybe there's something about me that God says no. Or number two, maybe there's something about them. Maybe they're special. Maybe in some way God loves them. He has given them a special place that I didn't get. Or maybe there's something wrong with God. Maybe he said that in the scriptures, but maybe there's something wrong with God. Well, it's none of those. It's not those three things. And so before we jump into the principles that we work through, let's hit a couple things that are important first. Number one, it's logical, I think, and understandable that God does not, he oftentimes says no, or his answer is some sort of no when one of you is praying for the Jets to win and one of you is praying for the Giants to win and they're playing each other, right? One of you is praying for a snowstorm so you can stay home from school, and one of you is praying for great weather so you can get to work. Like, there's this thing where, like, hey, both of them can't happen at the same time. Another one is that when you ask God for someone to fall in love with you, and you want that, you want God to take away their free choice. Or you are going through a really tough time in your marriage, and you're like, God, I pray she doesn't leave. I ask her, please make sure she doesn't leave. Make sure she doesn't leave. And you want God to literally overrule her free choice. And he's pretty clear in the scriptures that that's not something he does. Even as parents, oftentimes parents are very, very disappointed because, God, I prayed for them to do this, or I prayed for my kids to be here, and they're not there because I wanted God to overrule their free choice. And then the last one is when someone gets sick or they die. Now, the Bible is clear. God has the power to heal the sick, but it's also clear that sickness is a part of the human condition because of sin. And it's also crystal clear that everyone dies. And so many times you've prayed and you've asked God to save that person forever on this earth. And that's not something that, like, no one do you get to keep alive forever because you keep asking God to keep them alive. So here we're going to jump into this first verse, which says this: call to me and I will answer you. God does always answer. God does always answer. This is really important. Oftentimes when we think God says no, it means he didn't hear me. That's not true. God always hears you. God always hears you. It's one of the basic promises of Scripture that God always hears you. He knows, he hears what you've said. He interacts with that in some way, form, or fashion. Now, here are three of the many reasons that God says no. Now, many reasons. This isn't all of the reasons, but here's three reasons, pretty solid reasons, things you can work through as to why we know that God says no. And here's a caution. Use these to comfort yourself, but never use them with someone in pain, because you don't know why God said no to them. You've probably heard this a couple of times from me. This is my advice to anyone who, and we just had a couple of really heartbreaking deaths in our church in the last couple of weeks, right? And the advice I always give you is, when you go into their presence, don't try to say anything that you think is going to make them feel better. Why? Because you're probably going to say something that totally misses the mark. Why? You can't know where that person is at that time. And that thing that seems so comforting to you at that moment is not comforting to them at that time. So these things, don't take these out of here and go, oh man, I can't wait. Next time I get in trouble, I'm going to tell. When somebody else gets in trouble, I'm going to share these with them. This is for you to wrestle with, take into your own heart. Here we go. Number one, God says no when he has a bigger perspective. He has a bigger perspective. Look what the Bible says. He knows about everyone, everywhere, everything about us is bare and wide, open to all seeing eyes for our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. It's a super simple principle. God can see way down the road. He sees the consequences of every decision. He sees the consequences of every action. And so you as parents, many times your children will come to you and say, I want to be able to run out in the road. I want to be free. You're like, no. Why not? Because your perspective is way bigger than their perspective. Just let that settle in for a little bit. God does see it all. And when he says no to me, I usually have this right here, man. I'm focused right on this. And to me, it's crystal clear. This is what needs to happen for people to be loved and cared for and God to win. God, this is what needs to happen right here. But he sees way beyond that. His perspective is way bigger than ours. And God guards the course and the just. I'm sorry. God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. He guards and he protects. When God says no, it's because he can see where that's going to lead. And he's protecting you. He's guarding you. Your heart, your future. Number two, God says no when he has a better plan. God says no when he has a better plan. Men, have you ever done this? Have you ever made this big, huge plan for her? And you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. A couple years ago, it was Christmas. It was our 40 years. And so Lori's had lost her engagement ring, huge ring I had bought her when I was 17. I literally thought that it was a quarter carat. I was sure of it. I thought that would be a small diamond. And then I found it wasn't. I thought for sure that diamond was a tenth of a carat. No. I don't know what it was, but it was so tiny. I don't even think they had that fraction. But she had lost it and meant the world to her. And so I had secretly bought her a new wedding ring and a new diamond. And it was a little bit bigger than the one the first time. And she was in California with the kids. I flew to California and I had this big plan for her. I said, okay, now let's go do this. And it seemed like every step I took, she's like, no, I don't want to do that. Let's go do this. I'm trying to get her to the beach where I'm going to propose to her by herself. She's like, I said, come on, honey, can we go for a walk? She's like, no, let's stay with the kids. Let's hang out with the kids. We don't get to be with them that much. Let's be with them. She's like, come on. All right, why? I had a way better plan than she had. I had a way better plan than she had. But she didn't know my plan, right? This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours, for my ways are higher than yours. Now listen, I've seen people use this verse over and over again to describe God as if he's this mystery you cannot understand, as if it's this deep, deep stuff you need to understand, as if there's these secrets out there. That's not what this is saying. This is way more practical than that. It's that he has a plan. That even if he shared the entire plan, well, number one, if he shared the entire plan with you, it would scare you to death. I don't want to take that plan. But number two, he has a plan. It's way, way better than your plan. And so when he says no, it's because he's got a better plan. These were commanded for your faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. This passage in Hebrews chapter 11, there's this list of all these people from the Old Testament who had faith in God. He had promised them something, they believed his word. He had promised them something, he believed their word. And they took huge, major steps of faith. Moses and Abraham and just person after person that took these big steps of faith. And you're like, wow, man, if I could have faith like that. Listen to this. These were commanded for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. What? God said no. See, the ultimate plan came in heaven. And so he said no to some things here on earth. God had planned something better for them. God has all of eternity to fulfill his promises. Pretty amazing. God has all of eternity to fulfill his promises. And so when we think of a plan, my plan, your plan, how long's your plan? 5 years? 10 years? Usually our plan is like 24 hours, man. If I don't get that yes in 24 hours, I'm like, what? He's got a bigger, better plan. Number three, God says no when he has a greater purpose. What is the purpose of your life? Don't be offended by this. Please don't be offended by this if you do this in your life. Don't. Just understand God's got a greater plan, and I'm sure he's got a greater plan. But whenever I come across someone who says, yeah, man, I think I was created to be an actor. I think the purpose of my life is to be an actor. So your whole life, the reason you exist is to act like somebody, not you. Come on. I've heard people say, I love logistics. I just love logistics. I think I was created so I could build a company and do these logistics. Or even that. I think the purpose of my life is to start this company and build this company. So you think the purpose of your life is to build something that as soon as you're gone, or within 50 years you're gone, or if it lasts crazy long time, 150 years of your life, it's going to be gone, and no one will ever remember it. Come on. I think the purpose of my life, let's go even deeper. I think the purpose of my life was to love my wife. The whole reason I was created was to love my wife. You've heard me say that. That's it. That's it. No. You don't get it. God has got he's got an incredible purpose for you. It's eternal. It's not 80 years long. It's eternal. It lasts forever. I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. Let me ask you this. Where do you think your purpose comes from? You think it comes from your passion? You think it comes, sorry, I'm being a little sarcastic. You think it comes from deep, deep down inside of you? This may be what you came for today, to hear these words right here. You don't get your purpose from you. Any purpose that comes from you, itty bitty little purpose. Your purpose comes from God. God created you with a purpose. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold. These present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they will produce in us immeasurably great glory that will last forever and ever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. The troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Now, in the world we live in, this is totally countercultural. The Bible believes that trouble produces patience, patience produces character, character produces hope, and that lasts forever. So what our culture believes is, listen, we need to make it fun. Let's just make it fun. Let's make it easy. Let's make it so they like it. Let's give them trophies, lots of trophies. Make them feel good about themselves. That's why when God says no and he has this greater purpose, it confuses us. Because when God says no, it's because, yeah, this is going to be hard right now. But I'm going to produce gold in you. I'm going to produce something fantastic in you. Just as you'll never understand how the mystery of life forms in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work in all that God does. What should I do when God says no? So we know why God says no, at least three reasons. What do I do when God says no? How do I respond to it? Number one, trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Here's the new way that I say it to myself. I know that God gives me his best every day. I know that when God answers my prayers, he is absolutely 100% giving me his best. Why? Because he's good. It's not possible for him to do anything that's not good. And number two, he loves me. He'll do whatever it takes, no matter what it costs him. He's already proven it. All the ways of the Lord are loving. In everything, God works for the good of those who love him. He has this amazing ability to take what is looks like it's wrong. He has the amazing ability to take what people meant for evil. He has the ability, amazing ability to take what I've royally screwed up and turn it for good. That's what he does. I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it is motivated by love. This is amazing and really helpful. This might be the second reason why you're here today. Many, many times I hear people trying to figure out what God's doing. I think God did it for this, and I think he did it for that, and look, it's working. This is going to work out okay. And they're always trying to say why. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to miss the amazing purpose that God has for you. Understand, I don't understand. I don't know why he's doing this. I disagree with him. I don't think he should have said no, but I know this. It's best for me, and he loves me. Number two, when in pain, pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. This is pretty cool stuff. Going a little farther, Jesus fell to the ground praying. Now, at this moment, Jesus knows he's going to be tortured, whipped, crown of thorns, nailed through his hands, and he's going to be hung from a cross. It's bad. He says, If possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. Jesus prayed, Abba, Father. That means Daddy. He's in the middle of this trouble. He's like, Daddy, all things are possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine, to be done. Here's the right way to pray when you hit this spot. Affirm God's power. Father, I know you can do anything. Ask with passion. Don't back off. Don't go mediocre. Father, please give me what I ask. But then accept God's plan. However, what I want most is your will. So how do we do that? How does that work out? Kind of lays into number three. Expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. We don't have the power. We really don't have the power to do the three things I just said without his grace. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He had this thorn in his flesh, this problem in his life that created great pain. He kept asking God to take it away, take it away, take it away. Three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. Countercultural. What? See, I become more powerful in your life, in your weaknesses, not your strengths. So I gladly boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can flow through me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you. You see, many times when he says no, he's actually going to bring you into a relationship with him where you're going to experience him in ways you've never done it before. You will experience his grace, his... Wait, you mean this isn't on my shoulders? No, it's on his shoulders. And so it's not up to me to make my plan and my purpose and all of that come about. No. All of that comes about by his grace, by cuddling up underneath his arms and letting him protect you. It's pretty awesome. I've asked my wife, Lori, to come out and share with us. We're going to share a little bit about our story, and our story is called When God Says No. And it starts with us. We were 17 years old, and she was incredibly beautiful. You may have you ever heard me tell you the story of the blue bikini top and the cutoff shorts? Let me tell you that story sometime, but she was just gorgeous, and just like she is this morning. It's awesome. I'm glad you didn't wear that bikini top and the cutoff shorts. I actually had been called to be a missionary when I was 16 years old. I met her when I was 17 years old. And she said, hey, I'll go wherever you go. I knew very little about life, but thought I knew a lot about life. So we ended up getting married. I was 17. I think she was 18. It was because we had to get married. Our little guy was coming along. And at that point, we had very, very little in common other than this one thing we had in common. It was?
Our prayer at that time had come to, we really didn't want our children to turn out like us. And so we started praying together that our children would learn not just to know who God was, but to really know God, not just to know the Word of God, but to know about the Word of God and how to apply it to their life. And so that's how we started our life, praying that our children would know God in a very real way.
My part to that was that I was a mediocre Christian. So if you watch me or you met me in my high school, I was known to be a good kid. But I just would never go all in trusting Christ so I could experience his abundant life. I believed in it. I believed what he said in the Bible, but it wasn't worth it to me. And so throughout our lives, we prayed this prayer. It's the one prayer we prayed consistently the first 20 years of our marriage, which is, God, we want our kids to experience the abundant life that you've promised. And we set forward to do that. And the first step was to go to Bible college. And Lori was going to be a nurse. So she was going to finish up her nursing school. And then I was going to go to, we were going to go to college. I'd be able to go to college while she worked as a nurse. But something happened the last month of nursing school.
So while I was in nursing school last month, I woke up one morning, after having done nothing, I woke up one morning with a swollen knee. We went to the doctors, and they said I had a condition, an autoimmune disease called lupus. And they said, oh, it was a very mild case, and they could get me on my feet in no time, but it didn't work out that way. It got worse and worse, and I was unable to work as a nurse, and there we were. I couldn't work.
And so we had a conversation with God, and we prayed, and we said, God, we need you to heal her for this to happen. Otherwise, we cannot go to Bible college. And God said to us,
no.
And so another story, we ended up at Bible college. And we're there at school, and the arthritis was probably the worst it was our entire lives. It was this bad. We owned a waterbed, and there were times in our life when I would walk in, and if I touched the waterbed, she would scream. Like, the pain that she lived in was truly unbelievable. And so during that time, I was going to school full-time, I was working full-time, and I was taking care of Lori and the kids full-time. I averaged 4 hours of sleep a night, and by the junior year, I was like, I cannot keep doing this, God. You've got to do something. What was it like for you?
I remember one year when we were there, I think it was around our last year, I was continually praying for God to heal me. We started with 2 children in school, we ended up with 4. And I remember my son was 5 years old, and my youngest daughter was pretty new, and I had to feed her. I was laying on the couch in the pain, and everything was so bad that I couldn't get up. And here I was, my husband was at school, I needed to get up to take care of my child, and I had to ask my 5-year-old to go get her out of the bed and bring her to me so that I could feed her. Again,
God said no. We did end up staying in Bible college. We did end up graduating, and we were appointed to Togo, West Africa. Our goal was to go to Togo and actually minister in the bush, the place where you go, where people live either in huts or houses like huts, and to plant churches. That was our dream, and that's what we believe that God had called us to, and so we set about raising support to do that. And you do that, you call the church, ask, can I come speak and share about this mission, and then you hope that they will support you in prayer and financially. We went to 100 churches, and many, many of them said, we'd love to, but only one supported us. And we eventually, 2 years of doing that, got a call from the mission that said, listen, we've reevaluated Lori's health, and we reevaluated your situation, and you need to resign. This is not going to work. And Lori's response was?
Being the godly woman I was and the wonderful wife I was, I responded to my husband, you're a wimp. We should keep on going anyway. We need to go to Togo, West Africa. I'm sure that's where God called us.
You think you have it rough? And so therefore, God said no. And we then ended up in Alabama, where our dream our whole life is to go places where there are no churches, to go places and minister where people don't go to church, where they've never heard the gospel. And we ended up in Alabama, where there are churches everywhere, and we were there for 5 years. And it still wasn't great for Lori and her arthritis, so we decided we wanted to go to either Arizona or New Mexico and plant churches there. But Lori's mom got sick, and my brother got killed in a farming accident, and so we went back to Michigan, and we said, listen, we'll make a little bit of money here for this 2 years, and we prayed about that, and we prayed about going to Arizona and New Mexico. And during that time, the weather was terrible. There was just unbelievable number of things that went wrong that year of our lives. And Lori, what was that year like for you?
It was existing. We had good times ministering there, but not what we wanted. It was hard, seeing my husband work hard and me just existing.
So before I had left for Michigan, there was a church in New Jersey had called us and said, would you please come be the youth pastor out here? And I said, no, I don't want to be a youth pastor anymore, and the last place in the world I want to go is New Jersey. And so I literally did pray, God, anywhere but New Jersey, anywhere. But God said, no. So we ended up in New Jersey. And when we got to New Jersey, we continued to pray that prayer and for that to be a part of our lives. And we could tell actually 10 stories of where we ask God to either heal her or to change our situation so we could do what we believed God had called us to do. Like, none of these prayers were actually selfish prayers. These were all so we could do what we believed God could do. And Lori, why don't you just share what happened with you just the other day in terms of you went to the doctor? That's a little fresh. We didn't practice this.
You didn't tell me about this one. Oh, okay. So the other day I went to the doctor, and she had, it's a new doctor. I was given a new doctor, and the doctor had me take new x-rays of all my hands and my feet and my spine. And I've always held the asking God if someday he would let me go back as a nurse. I love being a nurse. When I was in high school, I started out as a nurse's aide. I've always wanted to be a nurse and work as a nurse in the hospital. So the doctor proceeded to tell me about my x-rays. And then she started to tell me about my spine, and she started at cervical spine 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and or whatever numbers they are. I'm sure I'm the wrong numbers. And I said, stop, please stop. And she proceeded to tell me I would never be able to work as a nurse again. What she would like to do is try and see how I could have less pain for my life. So it was another time where God said no.
She, one of the things that she said, we've said to ourselves over and over again, if God wants us to reach people, why has he given us a situation that makes it so hard and so difficult to do that? Now I'd like you to take a look at a picture. That's 1 through 13. Those are our grandchildren. Do you remember the prayer we prayed at the beginning? And then we prayed all the way through? The next slide will show. That's Christopher and Anna, Caden, Kale, and Cole.
It's Erica and Gary, and Tate, Eowyn, and Aaliyah.
That's Alicia, and Rich, and Cal, and RJ, Josie. And Mitch.
It's Steve and Alexis and Kenzie and Evie and Bailey.
Unbelievably, all 8 of our children are experiencing Christ's abundant life. They know Jesus in a way we never knew Jesus. And at this moment, they are transferring that to our grandchildren. So the whole time that we kept seeing God say no, no, no. And our kids will tell story after story after story how God used that arthritis to help them to see who Jesus really was. So the whole time that we see God saying no, 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 God was saying, yes. Thanks, Lord. So, you may be sitting at home this morning, or you may be sitting here this morning, and you're on the list of people that you gave up on God. There was a prayer you prayed, and he said no. And you said, that's it, I'm done. And you walked away from God's great perspective. You walked away from his plan. You walked away from his purpose. And the whole time you felt justified, you still do. Or maybe God said no, and you just went mediocre. You didn't give it all up. You're still here. You're still a part of this. You still do your duty. You still do what you think you need to do, but your heart's not in it anymore. That's because you didn't realize, wait a minute, he's got a bigger perspective. You lost focus, and you got focused on, man, God, if you don't give me McDonald's, when the whole time he's got steak. He is taking you to steak, but you pulled off. And you've done it because you don't realize he's got a greater purpose for you. He's got something amazing for you, something huge for you. This morning, let go of your little tiny perspective. Throw away your minuscule little plans. Give up on your self-made purpose and grab a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that when he prayed the prayer, God, please take this from me. I don't want to do this. God said, no, I got something bigger. I got a person that I love. There's this group of people, there's these individuals, and I want them to experience love and grace and goodness for all of eternity. Not just for 5 years or 10 years. Ever, forever and ever and ever. And Jesus said, you know best. I'm going to go. Grab a hold of him. And trust him that his no is always better than your yes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you take what we talked about today. We take your word, that you take it today, and you talk to people. And folks, I ask you, open your hearts. Get back into the game. Just grab a hold of him. Let him love you. Let him pour his grace on you. Jesus, I thank you. You never lie. You are right now giving us your best. I accept it. I grab it. I want it. And I want it for our people. In your name we pray. Amen.